Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process, helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
One of the things we like to say is we think we're the silent majority. We're the lost generation. Were the folks that didn't get it. And it seems like my guess is, and it's only a guess, but you know, the average American is late. Who gets it right when they're 20, 21?
Hey, welcome back to Everyone's Talking Money. I am your host, Shauna. It's so good to have you here. You're probably thinking, this is a Tuesday. Don't you normally put out episodes on Mondays? Well, we're changing things up a little bit. Going forward, we are going to release new episodes every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Still the same great content. We're just squeezing them all into the middle of the week, which I think might actually work a little bit better for your schedule. And we're starting with this episode, which is a great one. How do you reach financial independence when you're a late starter and you don't have everything financially figured out in your 20s, your 30s, or even your 40s or your 50s? Bill Young and Jackie Cummins-Koski host the amazing podcast Catching Up to FI, and they have made it their mission to help you make up for lost time. They're sharing their secrets in this episode. Their action steps to reach this elusive financial independence as a late starter is all about the KISS method. Keep it simple by starting to invest and save money and stay simple. You don't need to complicate things. You don't need to take on a lot more risk or have this crazy investment strategy. You just need to start somewhere. Throughout both Bill and Jackie's financial independence journey, they both agree that you can't overlook the mental, psychological, and emotional part of your journey. Things like working through shame, fear, your money story, and spending time processing those emotions so you can create a different future is key. As Jackie says, nothing is going to move forward until your mind says it's okay to. In this episode, you'll learn about the steps Bill and Jackie took individually to reach financial independence late in life, what advice they wish they would have known earlier, and the exact steps you need to take to fast track your financial independence journey. But before we jump into that episode, I want to let you know a unique opportunity to learn how to reach financial independence with me as your guide. My signature course, Un-F Your Money, is open for enrollment until May 15th. It covers the three areas you need to get financially unstuck. You'll learn how to fix your relationship with money, you'll create a custom, mindful spending plan that works, and you'll cultivate the action steps you need to build wealth and reach your goals. You can learn about all of it at etmlearn.com. I will have the link in the show notes. I would love to have you join us for the May round of this course. You will also get access to 2 live Ask Me Anything Zoom sessions with me each month if you sign up by May 15th at etmlearn.com. All right, let's start talking. Bill and Jackie, I am so thrilled to welcome you both to the podcast. Thank you both for being here.
Hey, Shauna. It's so good to be here with you. Becky and I had you on, and it's great to be on your show. And now I welcome my new co-host, Jackie Cummins-Koski, to join me with you.
Hey, Shauna. I'm so glad to be here. Hey, Bill. How are you doing?
I am really excited for this conversation. I am a unintentional late starter on my financial independence journey. My listeners know this story, but I got divorced in my very early 30s. And even though I had checked all of the right, you know, quote unquote financial boxes in my 20s, I was left in my early 30s with no assets, a lot of debt, and having to pay some money to my ex-husband. And I'm still honestly working through it all. It was quite a tidal wave experience financially. And, you know, I feel like there are a lot of emotions that came up during that time, even for myself as a money expert: shame, fear, guilt, anxiety, you know, all of these emotions. Both of you, I'd love to hear, I want to talk about these emotions that come up with late starters and how to work through them. Jackie, like, how do we deal with like all of these feelings that are just sort of simmering under the surface of not having our financial life together?
Yeah, I think that's so hard. And Shauna, I resonate with you about the divorce. I'm divorced. I was in my 30s when all that happened. So I feel you on that. So for me, I woke up right after my divorce and I did feel a little bit of shame. I felt like there were plenty of things I should have known that I didn't. And I needed time emotionally to process it. I think we should give ourselves a little grace, and I probably did not. And it took a couple years, honestly, before my head started making me think about my wallet. And only after that did I feel okay and comfortable enough to start moving forward. But you got to take that time to process things, to deal with the emotion, to deal with the psychology. And that made all the difference, because once I did get going, I had a lot of the stuff that was in my head out of the way. And I felt like I could just move a lot freer, a lot quicker. And at that moment, I was just ready.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, how do you see emotions playing into this journey of being a late starter?
Well, I don't think you ever fully process them. When I woke up, I was, again, also at 50. And just for your audience, I'm a high-income physician. I had lived a paycheck-to-paycheck lifestyle. I had inflated my lifestyle. And then all of a sudden, I realized at 50, around there with my wife, that we were not ready. And I was burning out on my job. And burnout is a physical and mental emotion, and it was overwhelming. I did not know what to do. I was trapped in a job that I didn't want to work necessarily another 10, 12 years, but I found that I had to. And one of the ways I've combated this, I already had a therapist, and we talked about money trauma with you in our show, and this was financial trauma. And so I started talking about it with my therapist and trying to process, okay, it's okay. Just like Jackie said, give yourself some grace. Try and bury the shame, because all of these negative emotions just drag you down on your forward progress that you need to make and make relatively quickly.
Well, and Bill, I think what's really interesting about your story too, when we hear it, we hear physician. And I think in all of our brains, we equate to, obviously, you make a lot of money. Obviously, you should have everything together financially. And so I love having these conversations the way we're doing now, very open and honest, because so many people are in that same position. And I think we just tend to think, well, if we made more money, then all of the financial goals we want to achieve, everything would just magically be better. But that's not necessarily the case. Tell me a bit about, you know, Bill, that kind of wake up moment for you when you realized, okay, I am definitely not where I want to be.
Well, you know, I was financially illiterate completely. I didn't know what a net worth statement was. I did not track expenses, money in, money out, more money, more problems. Yes, it's a six-figure income, but we had built a house. We had renovated a house. We had lived the big life and big vacations and new cars. We had done everything your classic, you know, financially dysfunctional physician does. And I decided to step out and own it. And a lot of physicians don't, and they hide behind the mask of their white coat. And the you know, we've all learned how to take care of others and their needs and their healthcare needs. And I'm an emergency physician, and I had an emergency financial health need, and I had to take care of myself, and I didn't know where to turn. But you've got to turn to somebody to get help, whether it be a therapist, somebody like yourself, roll into podcasts and blogs and books. But it really helps, I think, to find a mentor that's willing to walk the walk with you.
And Jackie, your story, obviously we share divorce in common, but there's a lot more behind your story. You've overcome poverty. You were a single mom. And you talk about these mindset shifts that you kind of credit to being this impetus for you to deciding to change everything, right? And to go down this journey of financial independence. How did you work through these challenges to create a new money plan? What was your sort of inside journey like in this process?
Well, I can say a few of the big things was just becoming financially literate, even knowing what some of these terms were. And then I got really curious. And then I would say the next phase was like financial education, to really starting to digest a lot of the concepts, found out that I had a big special interest in learning about my money. And I would say one of the constant things that was in my head is that I didn't want to ever be back in poverty. And I didn't ever want my daughter to know poverty the way that I did. And that was a big motivation for me. So from financial literacy to financial education and becoming financially independent, and then finally being able to step away from my corporate job and retire early. And I felt momentum going. So it really motivated me when I did my first net worth statement. when I wasn't afraid of the stock market anymore. And when I was seeing the needle move as far as my investments growing, my net worth growing, and then putting together pieces. And it was sort of a layered approach where once I learned one thing, I was like, well, what next? What can I do next? What else is there? So it just really was building on one another. So that slow uptick really matters. And as long as you're going in the right direction, you don't have to have it all figured out overnight. And that's what happened to me. So I moved, you know, from the time I got divorced to the time I reached financial independence. I mean, that was 10, maybe 12 years. So that was way shorter than I could have ever imagined. So huge difference just by starting and building on that momentum was what really kind of shifted it for me.
We throw around the word financial independence, but I would love to know from each of you, what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like?
Well, for me, independence means we're covering our expenses every month without being forced to work. There's no got to have your butt in the chair in order to earn your paycheck kind of approach. It doesn't mean stop working. And one of the problems I have is I have sort of a perpetual one more year syndrome where I don't know fully what I would do when I wasn't working. Podcasting has become a thing, but there's a lot of time outside of work. And then all of a sudden you have this vacuum. So it can keep you stuck in work just because you don't know what to do when you retire from something to something. My father worked till he was 80. That's the model I have. So I'm still figuring this out. Financially, it's different from physically and emotionally. Financially, we're about 2/3 of the way through our journey. I'll be fortunate to retire largely on time. Early for me might be 63. Much like Jackie, I'm 8 years into a 12 to 13 year journey. And I've got a few years yet to figure out how that void, how that vacuum gets filled when I have time freedom, when I don't have to, you know, I'm not beholden to the man, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, my idea of financial independence is very much like Bill. Basically, you don't have to worry about a paycheck in order to live the life you love. You know, you're able to live off your investments. You don't feel beholden to a job. And the financial piece has largely been removed in terms of having to have that, you know, weekly or monthly paycheck. And, you know, that's probably the financial definition, but I think there's a very strong emotional and psychological side to it so that you can focus on the things you actually enjoy. Like since I, you know, reached financial independence and now I'm retired early, I get to spend more time with the people that I want to be around. Like I'm recording with you today because I want to be around you. I have a podcast with Bill because I want to have a podcast with Bill. People I love to be around doing things that I enjoy. For me, financial literacy, financial education are absolutely huge in my life. So they will always be, you know, that center point. And I get to do more of that. So I say yes to more things because they are things that I really enjoy and they fulfill me. I get, you know, gratification from doing them. So that's sort of the psychological side of it.
What would you guess is the percentage of the population, either of you can answer this, that are indeed late starters? Is this the majority of us, but we're just not out here talking about it?
Well, I'll take that first, Jackie. One of the things we like to say is we think we're the silent majority. We're the lost generation. We're the folks that didn't get it. And it seems like my guess is, and it's only a guess, but you know, the average American is late. Who gets it right when they're 20, 21? You know, we have all these avatars of early retirees, the Mr. Money Mustaches, et cetera, that got it right and frugaled their way through a higher income and retired at 30. That's what we see in the world, but that's not the average person, right, Jackie?
That's right. And I think part of it, Bill, and Shauna, see if you agree, is that we don't teach personal finance in a high school, in all states. So we're making progress with that. Currently, as of March 2024, we have about 25 states. And that's a huge, that's a lot of progress. But in our generation, it was not required hardly in any state. And that's where a lot of things start in our formative years. So I think that that's definitely a piece of it now that it's available in high school and hopefully will start to be required for every state in our nation. That will start to make a difference, too.
And I completely agree with that. I taught at a university in Los Angeles for 10 years, financial literacy to mainly first generation students. And it was so great because they would go home and they would teach it to their family members and their brothers and their sisters. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm really passionate about, you know, and I'm glad that you allowed me to come on your show to talk about this, is indeed the not just emotional component, but how we just sort of innately learn about money through when we're young, through what our parents do and don't do, what they say and what they don't say. And I'm writing a book right now all about this, all about your relationship with money. And it just, for me, I feel like we need to have that piece coupled with the financial literacy, because even though we can read all the books and we can listen to all the podcasts, we still have to have a little bit of that. That we have to have that motivation. We have to have that little something that just flips on for us that takes us from these places of fear or shame or guilt and says, okay, let me try something with my money. Like, Bill, I'd be really interested just as a physician kind of your take on that piece that mentally has to change for us in order to change this whole journey.
Well, I completely agree. We can have everything in place, right? All the structure, the systemic structure, and then it still doesn't happen, right? In reality, it takes that one person that pulls you aside, like we heard with Fritz Gilbert on our show, and says, max out your 401k. It can be one little statement where somebody you trust takes you aside and says, this is what it's like to save. This is what it's like to invest. And this is what it can do for you 20, 30 years down the road. But when we're young, we're immortal. We think we're going to live forever and that nobody needs to take care of us, that we don't need to take care of our future selves. How do we introduce people, young people, to their future selves, to this concept of the future self, when it's all in the present, in the moment? That to me is probably the bigger piece, because all the technical, all the resource material is there and it's going to get pushed out to the world. But how do we engage that audience at their level?
Hmm. Yeah, I really like that perspective. Jackie, do you have anything to add on top?
Well, I think, you know, what Bill said, you know, totally makes sense. And you know, we're in agreement on that. So I think that's why we kind of love doing the podcast together, because just that whole idea of what he was explaining. Yeah, I just say ditto to all that.
I love that. It makes your jobs easy as podcast hosts.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're learning to dance. Yeah. But what we're talking about here really is, you know, generational money trauma. And I think we talked about it a little bit on our show. It's, you know, my dad didn't talk about money. I didn't know that they bought their cars in cash. I didn't know how they bought their house. They didn't walk me through the walks of life and show me this is how we do it. Whether it's a mistake or not, they just did it and protected us from it. They didn't think it was important to let us watch how they manage their money. And it just got lost on me. And all of a sudden, 20, 30 years went by and I had to wake up myself. It's really sad that it worked out that way.
Yeah. And Bill, I think we're doing it a little different with our kids. You know, now that we recognize that we wish that our parents or that we would have talked about money, even the mistakes and things like that. Now I know, as my daughter was growing up, I wanted to expose her to a lot of this money stuff, knowing that she's not going to catch everything, but a lot of it she will.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. All right, Bill and Jackie, it's time to play your relationship with money is game. So question number one, Bill, this one is for you. If you had to describe your relationship to money as a cartoon character, who would it be?
Well, you know, remember, I'm one of these rich doctors, right? So the first thing that came to mind for me, given that I lived the rich life, was Richie Rich. Where it was this money was falling off of trees. I was driving around in luxury cars, and it was an endless stream of money where, okay, I've made it. I've lived through deprivation. I've gone through college, med school, residency, and now I've made it. But in the end, I didn't know how to partition my first paycheck. And you've got to learn that skill. Where does this money go to taxes? Where does it go to savings? Where does it go to investing? And where does it go to paying my expenses? And I really would beseech people not to live the Richie Rich life, no matter where they think they've made it. And people can feel this way at any income, not just the physician's income. And learn how to do the basic skills of partitioning a paycheck. And once you've learned that, as your income grows, it all falls from that first point on the curve, and where you start in many ways leads to where you end.
All right, Jackie, question number two. If money was a person and showed up at your door, what would you want it to say to you?
Okay, so I don't know if it would say anything, but when I opened the door, it would give me a wink and say, "You're doing okay. Good job."
All right, Jackie, next question. What is one money mistake you'd like to get a do-over for?
One money mistake I would like a do-over for. You know, our childhood sticks with us. And the do-over that I had was when I was in college. I was a struggling college student having to pay my own way through school. And of course, what do? I buy a brand new car that has payments that are $326 a month, which was a lot for a struggling college kid. And before I knew it, that car was upside down. I couldn't afford the payments. I go crawling into the bank trying to refinance it. They told me, "Oh, I'm sorry, we can't refinance this because you owe more on it than it's worth." And my eyes was welling up with tears. I went and slithered into my car. It was a Ford Probe. And just cried. I didn't know what to do, but man, if I could have a do-over. I don't think I've bought a brand new car since then. That was probably the only time I did and ever will. I get it a few years old, it looks brand new, and it's not upside down.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
I just really, Bill, when you're speaking, I can feel what your experience was. And I think it's what so many people go through. I grew up in a family where my dad was in the financial industry. And so you would automatically think that I would know everything about money. And I got to college and, you know, did all of the money mistakes that people do, credit card debt and spend money to have status and all of those things. And I think that it doesn't escape any of us. We just don't learn what we need to know about money. And then you're right, we fast forward 20, 30 years and we're like, what happened? Where did time go? And where did all my money go? What would you both say, what are some of the advantages, if there are any, to starting late on this financial independence journey?
Yeah, I was just going to, we did a session at a conference that was all around financial independence. And we had a group from our community, the Catching Up to FI community, and we asked that question. And I do think it's much easier to come up with, you know, challenges and disadvantages of why we got a late start than it is some of the advantages. But there are some of the advantages. So, Bill, I'll just name a few that stuck out to me, and then maybe you could maybe mention a few that, you know, stick out to you as well. Like I said, a lot of challenges, but some of the advantages was, you know, as you get a little bit older, you start to get in your higher income years. And perhaps even at your peak earning years, if you're in your 40s and 50s. And so that could give you a little bit bigger shovel to do the things that you want to do, maybe save a little bit more in your 401k and things like that. And one big thing for me that encompasses a lot is you're kind of, a lot of times, you're through the bottleneck. And when I say bottleneck, I mean things like when we're young and just out of college, we've got student loans, we're buying our first house, we've got the kids, we've got expensive daycare, we've got all these things that are pulling at us at once, pulling at our paycheck, and we're likely to be learning less than what we might be earning maybe, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. So those are some of the big things that stick out in my mind that kind of will give you a little bit more of an advantage. Bill, what stuck out to you?
Well, what happened to us that was almost accidental, we moved from Chicago to Tennessee. We're in Knoxville, Tennessee. And what we didn't realize we did at the time was geo-arbitrage. And moving out of Cook County in Chicago, the cost of living and the taxes there into a different structure in East Tennessee made a huge difference. And we didn't realize that for a couple of years. We also downsized our house. These are painful things to do, but they are so valuable. It is really hard after the lifestyle, paycheck to paycheck accumulation of stuff to reduce your stuff, reduce your footprint, take that weight off of your shoulders. But that's what we did. And at the same time, we jacked up our savings rate. At the same time, we jacked up our savings rate. We were single digit savers, and we took it very quickly after we started watching our money to 30 and 40%. And savings rate is a huge lever that you have to pull in your high income years. So you reduce your expenses, you increase your income, you increase that gap. And that's where most of these things come from. And in your later years, you have all these pieces in place to do it.
Yeah. Jackie, tell me a little bit about these tough choices, because none of us really want to make tough choices with our money. But sometimes we just have to look at, like Bill said, what are the levers that we can pull that will suddenly change the dynamics around?
Yeah, I mean, there are tough choices in every aspect of our life. And when it comes to the money part, you know, if you're ready to pull things together, I feel like you don't want to make yourself miserable, because then you're not going to stick with it. So look at the areas that you don't care so much about, and maybe spend less on that. But the things you value and the things that really matter, focus on that and focus on the thing that you're good at. I mean, for me, I probably started in an unlikely place when I started waking up after my divorce and I was ready to get going. I was always very interested in the stock market. I'd been afraid of it prior to that. And I ended up, I was talking to a friend of mine at work. I was in Ohio. She was in Boston. And she told me about this organization called Better Investing and that they support investment clubs. So I ended up looking for one in my area. She said, just Google it. There's one in your area. So I Googled it, and joining that investment club and learning all about how the stock market worked and things like that, it made a huge difference. But I was so curious about it. I was so excited to learn. I loved the people that were so smart, way smarter than me. And as I'm going through that, I'm backtracking. I'm thinking about all the basics I should have started with. Things like my cash flow. Why am I not maxing out my 401k? Why am I not maxing out my Roth? Why am I not maxing out my HSA? So even though I started at probably not the most ideal place, that was what got my wheels turning, and everything else came into focus once I did that. And I feel like sometimes if you just need a little motivation to make that first step, go after the thing that maybe you're most curious about and start digging into that, because all this personal finance stuff is connected. And wherever you start, you're going to end up circling back to one of these main topics of your money. And that's how it kind of worked for me.
I think that is, I love that advice, Jackie, because it's start the place you're most curious. And the curiosity, I think, lends to your motivation, your excitement, the psychological push that you need to maybe get over some of the hurdles. We talked about savings rate, yeah. Bill, you shared that. Jackie, you talked about investing. I'm wondering, what are some of the other tools and tips for this path to financial independence, either that you both have used yourself, or you've had so many amazing guests on your show? Or are there any tips and tools that you've taken away from some of those folks?
Well, one of the things we combat with this, and we come back to emotion, is fear. The taboo around money and not talking about it leads to fear, and overcoming that and accessing, whether it be the stock market and why does it always go up, or accessing, okay, this is how I can reduce my housing cost. For me, fear was omnipresent. You know, my dad did his taxes in the basement and I lost them for a month, and I'm like, oh God, I'm scared of taxes now. Because I don't want to go in that room with papers flying everywhere. And overcoming the fear really, I think, is critical in doing this. And a lot of late starters have that problem. It's just easier to push it aside. It's just easier to kick the can down the road and not jump into what is an overwhelming situation. And like Jackie did with taking off a small piece, what is it? You know, how do you eat an elephant? You take one small bite. And you work from there. Yeah. And we're here on our platforms to try and help people to do that, to take that first bite, wherever it is.
Yeah. And I think also, Bill, I think you'll agree with this, but I think the simplicity of it all, you know, fear happens from afar. But when you start digging into it and learning and becoming more educated, it kind of releases some of that fear and you start to see, wow, this wasn't so hard. A good example is, you know, with investing, you know, that can be as complex as you want it to be, but it can be simple. You know, J.L. Collins has a simple path to wealth. Well, if you invested in a simple index fund, you will do just as well in most cases than if you put together a complex hedge fund type portfolio. So simplicity is great, you know, and there's so many other financial concepts that can be explained in a very confusing way where it is so hard to understand, so hard to grasp. But as you get closer to and you start learning about it, it can be boiled down into some very simple concepts.
And Jackie, the problem here is, as a late starter, they want to hit the magic button. They think, okay, I'm going to up my risk profile. I'm going to go all in and this is going to work. Well, what was hard for me to realize, I didn't do that. But what I did do was make it more complex than it needed to be. As a physician, I'm like, well, okay, the best solution is going to be the complex one where I have 10 different index funds that I'm forward rebalancing and, you know, doing all this fancy stuff. And I got to do my small caps, my large caps, my values. And in the end, I've pared back to simplicity. So one of my messages to the late starters is try to hold yourself back and try to start and stay simple. You'll end up there anyway. So why not start there with a simple 1, 2, 3 index fund portfolio and then just work the plan? They've got to realize that it's still going to take time. You can get all through this and get through your honeymoon phase and realize, okay, I'm ready to go. This is going to work. But then you realize, I've still got 10, 12, 13 years to work this plan. You know, I have made decisions that have provided me with memory dividends in my life, and that's not a regret. You know, as late starters, we've lived life. We've had a lot of experience, and we may not need to do all the things we did before, and we need to just reset our focus on, you know, the goal line of time freedom.
I like that memory dividends, Bill. We need that on a t-shirt or bumper sticker or something.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's our next t-shirt, Bill.
There you go.
Well, I think Bill Perkins from Die With Zero coined that one, but I read that book and I recommend it to your audience.
Well, it's time for the, if you do nothing else, do this takeaway, where I really want you to share with my friends, everybody listening, if they're in this place where they are a late starter, they're on this journey. If they do nothing else, where should they start? Jackie, I'm going to throw it to you first.
Yeah, my starting place is almost always the same. It's the mental, emotional, and psychological part of this whole journey. Give yourself a little grace. Think mindfully about, you know, your money journey. You know, where you want to be, where you came from, you know, is there certain hangups you have about money? Think about why that might be and just sort of spend a little time processing that. You know, a lot of us really don't get the time to, you know, just think about, you know, our money history and stuff like that before we move forward, because nothing else is going to happen or move until your mind says that it's okay. And so that's where I like to start.
Yeah, I love that, Jackie. I came up with a little mnemonic for me in this one. I talk about pause, plan, and pivot. And you can't plan before you pause, and you can't pivot before you pause and plan. Everybody wants to jump in and start, and you do have to stop and reflect. And then when you plan, you've got to map out, okay, what's my net worth statement now? What's my balance sheet? What's my expense report? And then where do I want it to be? Then you got to, the numbers are 20% of the journey. The mindset shifts and the things that you do to get and keep yourself on the path are all the mindset, the 80%.
I really respect what Bill and Jackie are doing with their show, Catching Up to FI, and this movement to help late starters. I feel like so many people are in the same spot as Bill and Jackie, but are ashamed to talk about not having everything figured out financially. And I could tell you, after working with a lot of people over about 18 years as a financial coach, Their story is more the norm than an abnormality. So if you're a late starter, know that you can make up for lost time. What's that saying? The best time to start was yesterday. The second best time is now. So do yourself a favor and check out Catching Up to Fi podcast on any podcast player. There's even an episode with me on money trauma that I did a couple months ago. But all of their episodes are just gems if you are a late starter. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a few friends, family members. Tell them, hey, you need to be listening to Everyone's Talking Money. This is how we continue to do this show year after year. And just a reminder, if you want to join me in my course on F Your Money that is open for enrollment until May 15th, you can go to etmlearn.com. As well as you can head to the show notes for all the links to our amazing guests, sponsors, and everything that was mentioned in this episode. I will see you back here for a brand new episode.